Hello, Front Stretch faithful, and welcome to the third episode of the 2015 Front Stretch podcast series. As always, I'm your host, Matt Stalnick, and joining me are my intrepid fellow racing experts, Mike Neff and Aaron Bearden. In case you missed this Sunday's Sprint Cup race from New Hampshire, Kyle Busch won again, giving him his third win in the past four Sprint Cup races. As for the rest of the race, it was, shall we say, typical New Hampshire Motor Speedway, and that usually means not much action. The lead changed only 9 times in the event, passing was nearly impossible, and New Hampshire's low banks once again proved to be anti-competitive. So, gentlemen, did you share this sentiment, or did you have a different take on Sunday's action? Mr. Neff will lead with you.
I thought it was an average to maybe slightly above average New Hampshire race. There were moments where we actually had 3 wide racing. There were some extended periods where people ran too wide and took a while to pass, and it wasn't a barn burner by any stretch of the imagination, but I thought it was an average New Hampshire race, and it was kind of a little bit of excitement in there when people were fighting to get their laps back, and Kyle's move to get by Harvick and Keselowski was exciting. But yeah, as New Hampshire races go, it would be beers.
All right, Aaron, what was your take?
Well, if any fans missed it, you can re-catch the action this Thursday during the Hauler Parade when they roll into Indianapolis. It's about the same amount of passes, but I mean, honestly, when you come to New Hampshire anymore, you pretty much just expect there not to be a lot of passing, and sometimes it made for some fun times. You saw some drivers kind of sliding around and bumping each other, but as has kind of been the tale lately at New Hampshire and really throughout New Hampshire's history, a lot of the passing and a lot of the action is going to come on restarts. And on restarts, there was a lot going on. There were 3 wide moves. There were a lot of bold moves. You had Kyle Busch going bonsai to get his lap back at that one point in the race, and that ended up being the race-winning move because for whatever reason, NASCAR decided to throw an oil caution 15 laps after they first reported oil on the track. But overall, I mean, it was New Hampshire. I don't really know too much of what to say. I imagine if you ask Kyle Busch, he loved it. If you ask Brad Keselowski, he's upset for the second straight week. And if you ask the rest of the field, they are probably still catching their breath because there were quite a few drivers just absolutely exhausted after that race. Michael Annett and Matt DiBenedetto, among others, needing medical attention because it was so hot inside their cars. So honestly, the biggest stories from the race came in 2 or 3 little 5-second stints and then in the post-race. But, I mean, that's about what you expect from New Hampshire.
Yeah, I look at New Hampshire and I just don't know how you can make that a competitive track for stock cars. I've always thought that since I started watching, NASCAR and motorsports back in the late 90s. Some of these series, they go to New Hampshire, and I would just sit there and scratch my head and like, how can you put a competitive race on at this track? Because if you go through and look at the history of New Hampshire, it's really not much different than what we saw on Sunday. I actually do have to agree with Mike. I mean, as far as New Hampshire races go, it was average to above average. Kyle Busch's move after he had that unscheduled pit stop late in the race and he unlapped himself. It was really cool, really exciting. The restarts were exciting. There was some side-by-side battles here and there, but it's just so frustrating to watch a race at New Hampshire because it's so difficult to pass. And then on top of that, you have the aero issues of, the modern-day Sprint Cup cars, which just are completely exacerbated at New Hampshire. I mean, I don't know if there's a track on the circuit other than maybe Indy and maybe Pocono, Michigan, that are as bad on aero as New Hampshire. I mean, at least at those places, you can get a draft on somebody and pass them. At New Hampshire, there's not a whole lot a driver can do. I mean, it's a very frustrating place to watch the race. And for the first time in a number of years, if you took a look in the stands did not look good. They did not look full. If I had to estimate, they looked about 2/3 capacity, probably less than that. And the thing that a lot of, proponents of New Hampshire had always, said was that, in spite of the less than scintillating action, New Hampshire always packed them in. But I'm not even sure they can say that anymore. So I have to wonder if this is a track that's going to be on the chopping block coming up here soon, because it really is starting to look like over the next 3-4 years, NASCAR is going to start making some moves schedule-wise. I really do feel confident about that. And I personally think New Hampshire could be a track on the chopping block. I mean, you guys could feel free to disagree with me on that point, but I think it could. I think New Hampshire, if it keeps putting on races like we saw on Sunday, and they're having that kind of a crowd, I don't see how you could keep a track like that on the schedule. It's one of the probably least important tracks should NASCAR decide to axe one or two, that and Dover. I mean, I like Dover, but I think New Hampshire would probably be one of the first ones. Would you guys agree?
As much as I would love to see it go back to North Wilkesboro, where the date came from and where it rightfully belongs, it's never going to happen. Bruton's always looking to move races to Vegas, and he's going to have to find one from somewhere because they're not going to give him one. So if he's looking for a Vegas date, it would not surprise me if it came from New Hampshire.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked by that either.
Yeah. And they're also looking to try to find a way to Iowa Speedway. That's been in the talks for I don't know how many years now, and I feel like eventually they're going to get one. So I could honestly either see this date or one of the Dover dates becoming a date at Iowa too, probably before the Chase. But I don't know. They just every time we come to New Hampshire, I just ask myself, why are there two races here? I can live with one. I mean, it's a unique track. I understand the trophy's cool. You get to hold the lobster and all that, but it's just not a very exciting race to watch. And if the fans aren't coming anymore, because I saw estimates saying anywhere from 40 to 50,000 max on Sunday, if they're not there, then I don't see what redeeming quality keeps this track in a deserving mode to keep two races. I just don't see it staying like that for very much longer.
Yeah, I mean, some of the drivers, and this is not a huge contingent of drivers, but there are some drivers that are like, well, you know, it's a driver's track, blah, 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 blah. And that's cool. But we have enough driver's tracks on the schedule that also produce exciting racing, you know, places like Darlington, Bristol. There's just not a need for New Hampshire, in my opinion. I think one date to keep some of these Northeast New Englanders, NASCAR fans happy is good. I think one date is probably feasible. This is, of all the tracks that have two dates, this is the one that shouldn't have a second date more than any of them, personally. But
I hear always, Pocono.
I would disagree on Pocono. Pocono has a pretty consistent history of packing those stands in. I personally think the racing at Pocono is pretty solid. I know there's a lot of division on that. I think Pocono is just so unique. And I mean, New Hampshire's unique to a point, but Pocono's a pretty cool track. I mean, I don't know. Some of that might just be personal bias, but I think as long as Pocono keeps packing them in as much as they do, I think Pocono will probably stay. Plus the Mattioli's family who owns Pocono and NASCAR, they're pretty tight. So I don't know if I would see that one happening. I think Pocono or New Hampshire, I should say, Dover, maybe even Michigan, I think those would probably be the tracks that would get axed first in favor of an Iowa or a Road America or a second Vegas race. But God forbid, we don't need another Vegas race. That would just be torture.
No, we don't. But no. Don't forget, 3 or 4 years ago, Pocono was not packing them in. Igdalski's really done a good job of turning place around. 3 or 4 years ago, there was a real movement to get them to drop a date. Now it's not so much because, like you said, they are packing them back in again. But again, I'm of the opinion that every track should only have one date. So I got no problem yanking a date from New Hampshire, Dover, Daytona, Talladega, take all of them. Everybody loses a date. They all keep one, with the exception of Daytona getting to do the shootout and Charlotte getting to do the all-star race.
Yeah, I think there's certain tracks, Daytona, Talladega, Charlotte, Bristol, Martinsville. Maybe you can pick one more that I would keep with two dates, but anything beyond that I think is kind of silly. But as much as we can all hate on New Hampshire this week, there's one guy in the garage area who I am quite sure is a big fan of New Hampshire. That'd be Kyle Busch, coming off his third win now in four races. What does this win mean for the rest of the season for Kyle Busch? Is this the one that seals it?
I think it probably does. I looked up how far back he was now, and he's so close now that he only has to finish 8 positions ahead of 30th, which right now is David Gilliland. And when David Gilliland's averaging a 28th place run, that means you only have to average a top 20 from here through the last 7 races to the Chase. And with that, Kyle even kind of has another mulligan, I guess, to say, if he had another issue, say, he's had some problems at tracks like the Brickyard and stuff in the past. So Busch really has a lot of leeway now. He really drove himself out of a hole with this last month between the three wins. And also, people are going to forget about it, but coming back from seemingly just completely being out of contention at Daytona to score a top 20 and salvage that. So Busch is probably in the chase now, and that's really going to start a lot of debate among people. It already has, on whether or not he deserves to compete for the championship, because at the start, when they first announced it, people didn't think he was actually going to make it. Like, I'll be honest, I said, no, he missed too many races. There's no way. And everybody thought, oh, you know, it's okay. Let him have his chance at it. I mean, NASCAR owes him that much. But no, but now that he's at... What happened?
Okay, he's good.
Man. Hey, look at that.
All right, so I was able to pause the recording while you were saying the word averaging. So do you kind of remember what you were saying?
I don't remember how far back it was. Can you play back a little bit before so I know for sure?
Let me... I don't know if I can do that, unfortunately. Let me go back. Let me go through memory here.
You were saying that Gilliland was averaging a 28th place finish, so Kyle only had to average a 20th, but he might even have a mulligan, blah, 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 blah.
Okay. You want me to just start over?
Well, if you let me try and think of where I can have you cut in.
Honestly, it might just be easier for me to start over.
Because I have the recording paused, so I can't necessarily have you start over, because then it'll just have you repeat everything.
Okay. So we don't have, like, the ability to cut it? And...
No, not with the primitive tools I have at my disposal right now. All right, so why don't we just have you say, do you remember what Busch has to average over the next 10 races? Or the next
20th.
That's what 20th. You were saying.
But do you know what? Did I get the whole sentence out at least?
You got halfway through the word averaging.
All right, so just start with averaging. So I'm talking about Gilliland?
You're talking about Kyle Busch, I believe, at this point.
Did I get through Gilliland's part?
Yeah, you got through Gilliland's part. So basically, just start. You can just kind of start by saying, so Kyle Busch only needs to average a blank, 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 and then just kind of go into the rest of what you were saying.
Okay.
All right, so when I count you down, 1 second after you hear the word one, so 3, 2, 1, you can start talking.
Okay.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
So Kyle only has to average a 20th, a top 20 finish from here on out in order to make the chase. And for him, at the rate he's going right now, that's just going to be pretty easy for him. I mean, you look at what he's done coming up till now, winning 3 of the last 4 races and also having a critical race at Daytona that people are going to kind of forget about now because of the 3 wins, where he salvaged a 17th place finish with a wrecked car. And, I mean, even that, if he can even just pull stuff like that out, all he has to do is finish decent from here on out. He has a mulligan if something were to happen at, say, the Brickyard or somewhere where he might struggle. And he's even still got a track like Watkins Glen and even Richmond coming up where he's just a monster and could rattle off another big win easily. Or even just a top 5 that could almost push him right into the chase from here. So Busch is definitely in a position now where it looks like this is going to be real. And it's going to start a lot of debates. It already has on whether or not he should really be allowed into this chase. Because, I mean, everybody thought it was okay when Busch was given the waiver for the most part. There were some grumbles. But many of the media, myself included, I admit it, I'm guilty, didn't think that Busch was going to be able to fight his way up there as far back as he was, 13 races behind, and make the chase. But now he's there, and he's going to make it, and he might be the biggest championship contender in the whole group right now. I definitely think he's the best contender for Joe Gibbs Racing, just looking at him on paper. I mean, he's got more wins than everybody except Johnson. He's led more laps than all but, I think, 7 drivers, including 2 of his teammates in Kenseth and Edwards, and he's driving phenomenally. He's driving, honestly, kind of like 2008 Kyle Busch did back when he rattled off like 8 wins or something unbelievable. So right now, Bush looks like he's going to be in the chase. He looks like he's going to be one of the biggest contenders, and I wonder what NASCAR is going to do if he rattles everything off and wins the thing, because I'm just not sure what they're going to be able to say.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this isn't a discussion about whether or not he's going to make the chase at this point. We said this last week. I think it's pretty clear to everybody that he's going to make the chase. The question now becomes, how is this going to affect NASCAR? How is this going to affect the integrity of the chase? I mean, I'm a fan of the chase, but I don't necessarily think anyone's kidding themselves that they think this is the most integrity-filled playoff system out there. So, I am not greatly bothered by Busch making the chase and then, possibly contending for a championship. But the wider fan base, I think that's a completely different story. Neff, what do you think as far as that goes?
In all honesty, and trust me, I am in no means a chase apologist. Hate it, have hated it from day one. Just don't think it's the way we should settle a championship. But that said, he's playing by all the rules. I mean, the only reason we have the waiver system is because...
Can you hear me now? This is just sensational.
So on the positive side, we get to rate the quality of the call when we're done.
Yeah, I'm going to tear a freaking new one after this. Aaron, you got us? Aaron?
Can you hear me now? Aaron Bearden. The author's use of the anyone, Bearden.
Oh, my God.
And he's submarine again.
Well, this is going to be a bit of a choppy podcast.
Yeah.
It sucks because this thing was going great. This thing was going great up until we had that first hiccup.
Yeah. Sadness. Call dropped. Aaron Beard. Bearden's head has been removed from the podcast.
Can do his weight, I guess. I don't want to hit end call because I'm afraid if I hit end call, then it's going to kill the work we had. Well, he's still technically in here. It's just that he's still trying to connect. I don't know how to. I guess I have to try to end the call.
I don't see his name.
I don't understand why. It's literally just must be Skype just being awful tonight. I don't understand why I just didn't drop at some point. Aaron?
I don't think so.
Hey.
Was because my computer was grinding so hard that it was taking resources away. That was that. Look at that. I was able to add in.
Man, this is weird.
I tried to add in too, man. We added it together.
Aaron?
Yes, sir.
All right, Aaron's back in. Mike?
I am here.
All right, so, Mike, you were saying waiver system. Do you remember what you said before?
I will improvise.
Yeah, so the word you were talking about, Kyle Busch and the Chase waiver system. And all that good stuff.
Right.
So you could basically just go, you say, complete the word waiver system. Shit, it's been too long since.
I'll make it sound good.
All right. So do you kind of remember where you were?
Roughly.
Okay. All right. 3, 2, 1.
Waiver system allowed, you know, for extenuating circumstances, but it also had to go in there because we had to force these guys to show up, because that was the first thing I thought of when they announced this system, was Jimmy Johnson would go out and win the first two races of the season and then pack up and go run the pass series for 2 or 3 months and then come back and, you know, get back in a groove of things for the chase to start. So they had to have a situation where you had to race your way in, but you had to participate in all of them. But, like they did, they had to have a waiver system in case somebody got hurt. And so, Kurt got hurt by the court system, Kyle got hurt by breaking his leg, and yes, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that were listening to Moody's show the other day, it was not for a sympathy vote. Kyle did not fake his injuries from Daytona. There was a bone protruding out of his leg. But anyway, so he's played by the rules. So I don't think it's going to be a big deal for NASCAR. If anything, I think NASCAR is going to be able to run with this thing to highlight the fact that winning is why he got to where he got to. If he wins a championship, it's going to be a huge publicity deal about how it was a redemption thing, about how he changed his attitude and came back a better man. They're going to be able to tout the safety of the cars and the improvements they've made. So I don't think it's going to be a bad thing for NASCAR at all.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I have mixed feelings. I don't necessarily think this is going to be a bad thing for NASCAR, but I think this is going to be another one of those occasions where the mainstream media takes the story one way, and then the fans themselves, the actual NASCAR fans, are split 50-50. Case in point, the chase last year. The mainstream media, specifically the mainstream sports media, really picked up and ran with the chase last year. They really gave it a lot of attention because of what was going on. They really were, man, this is cool. Like, this is exciting. And then you had the fans, who you had 50% of them agreed. They were like, this is awesome. This is exciting. You know, from the Keselowski-Gordon issue just to the general, you know, tight points battle and then the final race and everything. You had 50% that really liked it, and then you had 50% that were just completely against it. And granted, those numbers are probably not accurate. Those are just hypothetical. I think you're going to see a very similar thing happen with this Kyle Busch story. I think the mainstream media is going to kind of just take it for what it is. Be like, oh, he missed these races. Well, the rules say that he can make it in this way, so why is there any argument? I think the mainstream media is going to take that story and run with it. And that, obviously, is really good for NASCAR. I mean, case in point, Dick Vitale, who's a well-renowned college basketball analyst, was tweeting about Kyle Busch today. I mean, that stuff doesn't happen unless it's a big crossover story, and this is a huge crossover story with a lot of potential for good stuff for NASCAR. So, Nephew back. All right, so I'm going to keep going with what I was just saying there. So, yeah, I mean, I think this could be a good story for NASCAR, but like I said, as far as, you know, the fans themselves, I think it's going to drive people right down the middle in a lot of the same way that the Ryan Newman story did last year. So, if I always come back to, there's rules for what the championship, you know, how the championship works. If someone plays within those rules and is successful, oh well, he played by the rules. So Kyle's won a bunch of races this year. If he makes the chase and, God forbid, wins the championship, I won't have any issue with it. He won three races, probably will end up winning more before then. So I can't really see myself having an issue. But, hey, everyone has their own opinions on things, and the NASCAR fan base is very much famous for that. Now, speaking of another thing that the NASCAR fan base has been somewhat fickle on over the years, we are heading to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway this weekend for the Brickyard 400. One of the biggest races on the schedule. Most people would probably tell you it's the second biggest. I would have to agree with that. We have a new aero package this weekend with the high drag package. It's basically going to be designed to create a 6 mile per hour speed boost in the draft for the drivers. NASCAR is essentially trying to replicate a hybrid of the racing we saw at the Indianapolis 500 this year for IndyCar and pack racing. I don't really know how it's going to work out. No one really knows how it's going to work out. Mike, we'll start with you. What is your forecast for this weekend as far as what the racing is going to look like at Indy? And do you think it's going to be beneficial?
I'm crossing my fingers. I'm hoping, I pray that we can get back to where Indy was in the first 3 or 4 years of the Brickyard. Because back then, you could slingshot past people. And there was a difference between cars that were good and cars that were bad. You had to have a decent car in order to be near the front and take advantage of slingshot passes for the lead. If you weren't good, you weren't going to be there. But I'm scared for a couple of reasons. One, as you mentioned, pack racing. I hope we don't have a giant wad of cars, you know, all on the same straightaway and all trying to slingshot past each other. I think that could be a nightmare. But I'm also very worried about the fact that they have done no testing with this package and the tire that they're taking to Indy. The last time that happened was 2008, and we all know how that turned out. So I've got my fingers crossed. I'm truly hoping that it's going to work out and we're going to be closer to something of Daytona from the 70s, where the guy in second place just played his time until he figured out when he wanted to make the pass for the lead. And the leader was a bit of a sitting duck, but could make a little bit of a move and possibly disrupt some air. I believe that's what they're going for. If they can achieve that, I think that would be fantastic. I'm from Indianapolis. The Speedway has the nearest and dearest feelings in my heart. I know that racing there is not good generally to begin with, and it's never been good there with stock cars, so I'm not delusional. Going to Indy's not about the racing. It's about the whole spectacle. And I fully anticipate a spectacle this weekend. I just don't know how many people are going to be there to see it.
Aaron?
I'm pretty much with Mike on this one. I've been going to that racetrack since I was 3 years old for this weekend in 1996, and I've grown up watching this race and watching it through really some of the decent times in the late 90s and then some of the worst times. I was in the crowd as a spectator in 2008, and it was about the worst NASCAR experience of my life. But this race is definitely not necessarily one people watch for the racing. Like Mike says, it's more for the spectacle. It's for the grand scheme of it all. It's Indianapolis. It's the racetrack in America. And, I mean, we had to fight and claw to get here. Some open wheel fans are still mad about it. But NASCAR deserves to race on this track. And I just hope the racing this year is good enough that NASCAR can prove that they deserve to race on this track. Because The last two or three years, it's been so aero-dependent, and passing has been so seemingly impossible after the first couple, three laps of a run, that it's really been hard to watch. I mean, whether it's the Xfinity race, which I don't even think should be there. I think they should be at Raceway Park, but that's a whole nother story. Or the Cup race, which, I mean, yeah, there's a lot on the line for them, but both cases, whoever gets out in the lead, whether it's through pit strategy or on a restart, you can't pass them. You can't pass them. And it was cool with the stories. Newman winning was a good story for NASCAR because he's a Hoosier. Gordon winning was obviously huge because he was a five-time and all that. But the racing product needs to be good. They've got so many races around here now at Kentucky and Chicago, and they've always had the ones at Michigan. If fans don't think the racing's good enough at Indianapolis and the spectacle's lost its appeal, they can go to other races. So if they want to keep fans in the stands and want people to remember that the Brickyard matters and to have that same feeling that the drivers have with wanting to come to this track, then they need to improve this on-track product. So I really hope these changes they make actually, I guess, make the racing worth watching.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement with you guys. I think the first thing that we need to establish is that there is a sentiment throughout a lot of the NASCAR fan base that, you know, oh, Indy sucks. You know, Indy doesn't belong in NASCAR. It's not an important race, blah, 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 blah. Well, let me just tell you that, first of all, NASCAR absolutely needs to be an Indianapolis Motor Speedway. There's no two ways around it. That track and that race are so important to NASCAR's standing as A, a mainstream sport, B, a legitimate motorsport series that matters, and there's really no other track on the schedule aside from Daytona and maybe Talladega and maybe the Bristol Night Race that are capable of producing that big event feel that you get when you go to Indy. There's no track that can produce that. And maybe that's just me. But this is an extremely important track for NASCAR. This is one of the only races of the year where the mainstream media puts any real care or effort into. This is still a very important race. And people here racing in Indianapolis, even if it's for NASCAR, people pay attention. It's one of the highest rated races of the year if you look at adjusted ratings. It's important for NASCAR to be here no matter how many fans are in the stands, no matter how many people are watching on TV or how good the racing is. It's an important track. With that being said, it is absolutely crucial that this race is good and that this aero package works. Like Mike said, I'm assuming what they're going for and what they've basically said they're going for is to create something similar to super speedway racing in the 80s and 70s, where it was kind of a pack, sort of, but you needed a really good car to be up front, need to be a good driver to be up front. Guys can move around a lot. They could use the slingshot, most importantly. That was kind of the characteristic that kind of defined those tracks. So, listen, if we get that, I have little doubt that this will be probably the best race of the season. But it's kind of going to be either or. It's either going to be the best race of the season or it's going to be the worst, because either they're going to be able to pull slingshot passes off or they're not going to be able to pass at all. And my biggest worry is that there is such a high load on the tires because of all the downforce that they're using for this package that we could see another tire gate incident. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed. It's an extremely important weekend. This is probably the most important race at Indianapolis for NASCAR since, God, a very long time, I would say, because I think a lot hinges on this race. Is for both the future of NASCAR at Indianapolis and the future of NASCAR's aero packages at some of these bigger tracks. And a lot's going to hinge on this. So let's just hope for the best. As a piece of good news, I have been told on good authority by some folks who know things that ticket sales are apparently up 15 to 20%. Apparently this has something to do with Gordon's last Brickyard 400. Apparently this is quite a marketing push going on out there. So Hope for some full stands.
Yeah, there's no doubt with the way this is setting up, and we'll hear some conspiracy theories if this plays out, but the way it's setting up is for the package to be racing 94, 95, 96 when Gordon was big in the mix, and you know, he won the first one, and he's won the most, and it's laying out like it's going to be, you know, he'll win the Brickyard, and that'll be his ticket to the chance to get into the chase. But I agree with you. I guarantee that the bump in ticket sales is 95% or more responsible because of it being Gordon's last Brickyard. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him come out of the box fast and be in contention at the end. And then the conspiracy theorists are going to go,
well. Well, I think a lot of that, as far as whether or not Gordon's going to win, because I think that's a really intriguing story on its own, Gordon winning in his final Brickyard appearance. I think a lot of that's going to depend on the racing product. If we actually get slingshot style of racing, where you get like these packs of 4 and 5 cars that are slingshotting each other, and you know, it's kind of similar to what we saw at Ontario back in the day. I don't necessarily know if that would be Jeff Gordon's strength. So if we get that, very few of the drivers in today's NASCAR Sprint Cup Series have even dealt with anything close to that. Gordon, I guess you could say, would be one of the few. Earnhardt Jr. has shown an aptitude on slingshot style racing in the few occasions when we had it, like back in the Wickerbill era. I don't really know. I don't really know who would rise to that level, because it's going to be, if we actually get that kind of a race, it's going to be so drastically different than anything we've seen at Indy, or really anything we've seen in NASCAR over the past 20, 30 years. Like, not even the restrictor plate tracks operate like that. It's kind of a different kind of the super speedway racing. The slingshot's kind of there some with some packages, but we've not seen anything like what is being planned for Indy. And I don't really know who I would put. We don't know if that's going to bring lower teams into the mix. Like, we don't know if that's going to even the playing field. It's a race that has a lot of question marks beside it. And I think it makes it very intriguing. But to kind of circle this back around, if Gordon ends up winning this thing, that would be one hell of a story, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd have to listen to all the conspiracy theorists light up about that. So that would not be something that I would be looking forward to. But it'd be cool to see Gordon win. So,
sure.
What do you say, gentlemen? Some final thoughts on this weekend and looking ahead to Indy. Neff, start with you.
$280,000, $300,000 people.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, Neff.
I just hope it's good.
All right. So, luckily for you, you cut out right as I said, you know, right before you even started. So you can just go right into your final thoughts. And we'll do that in 3 seconds here. You good? You good, Neff? Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
No, we're so close. This is, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but, yeah, dude.
I'm back.
All right, Neff.
You're like, in 3, and it went bloop.
All right, so, yeah, you cut out right before you even started talking, so you can just launch into your full final thoughts. All right,
full rant.
All right, Neffy. 3, 2, 1.
I'm super excited and super dreading the weekend all at the same time. The Xfinity Series should not be at the Motor Speedway. They should be at Raceway Park. I hate having to be there for that race. I hate covering it. I hate everything about it. I hate the way it was just ripped away from Raceway Park without them having any chance to keep it. So I'll deal with that. But at the same time, the Cup Series in Indianapolis, I was there for the first one. I love the Speedway. My arms still get goosebumps every time I drive through the tunnel. I just drink up that place every time I get a chance. My senior year in high school, I was at the track all 27 days that the track was open. And I live for that Speedway. That's why I am the racing fan that I am. So I'm truly excited about it. In reality, I think Kyle Busch is going to pull off another win. I think the better story is Jeff Gordon pulling off the win. So we're going to see what we'll see. But all in all, going back to Indy, I don't care what it's for. I'm glad to be going there.
Aaron, final thoughts.
Well, first off, There's another race earlier in the week that we haven't gotten a chance to touch on, but the Truck Series is going to be kicking up some dirt at Eldora Speedway in just like 48 hours, so don't forget to tune into that. Real quick, I'm telling a quick note for the front website. I'll be at the track, both at Eldora and the Brickyard throughout the weekend, so AaronBearden93 and Front Stretch, obviously, on Twitter, and I'll try my best to keep you guys updated with what's going on out there. But in terms of final thoughts about the track and the race, I pray that this cup race is good. I think this has a great chance to save face for the Brickyard, even though I'm already a little upset because it's going to be on NBCSN. We weren't even good enough for NBC with it, but I hope this is a good race. I'm with Neff on the Xfinity Series. They need to get back at Raceway Park, and I've actually heard murmurings that Raceway Park's trying to get an Xfinity date back, hearing maybe even Father's Day weekend if they can't get Brickyard weekend, but I hope the Xfinity Series gets back to Raceway Park because it's a good show. And if you guys, people listening, you guys obviously know, but people listening, on Friday night, the ARCA Racing Series is going to be at that track, and I'm pretty sure it's televised. And if you have that available, watch that race because it honestly could be one of the best ones for the weekend. And that's pretty much all I have to say. I hope we get a good story out of Sunday. My heart says Gordon, but my head says you could see a surprise like even a Jamie McMurray Coda Victory Lane with the way this thing's going to be set up. So we'll play it by ear, hope the racing product's good, and talk about it again next week.
Yeah, as far as my final thoughts, I am not as much of a hardliner when it comes to the Xfinity Series at Indianapolis Raceway Park. I actually kind of like the... I've always actually kind of been a fan of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Xfinity race. I would love to see Raceway Park get back on the schedule, though. That being said, I would love to see it on Father's Day or something of that nature. In a perfect world, I would have both of those races. Aside from that, Indianapolis Motor Speedway is, in my opinion, one of just the most important racetracks in the entire world. That track, you know, like the previous two guys just said here, it just gives me an absolute shiver up my spine every time I walk into the place. It is amazing. I love it. It needs to be successful. I want it to be successful, and I hope it's a good weekend. On that note, folks, catch us next week. You can hear the podcast next Tuesday, where we'll cover all of the action from Indianapolis. Signing off for Matt Stolnik, Aaron Bearden, and Mike Neff. Take it easy, guys.
Later.
Peace out.